together on the leather couch in the living room of their one-bedroom apartment, which also serves as a community meeting center, their three children roaming about, Marika and Jula talk about how they first met at her niece's wedding outside the city of Pécs.
I think I will never forget it. He wouldn't either.
Yeah, it was a big day. This was one of the first big Roma wedding. I remember it was winter, and this is where I saw her. I mean, she was very extraordinary. She was not like the other Romani girls, you know.
I had heard that he was a very good student, and he was very clever, and that's what just caught my attention, because he was different.
Plus, she had something different in her eyes. Her eyes were very smart, and that told me a lot. She was not only a girl who wanted to cook and raise kids, you know. This is what I saw on her face.
But there was something else.
The thing is that we were around 11 or 12 years old. And after a while, I heard that his parents wanted to get him married. And that's when I thought that, well, what if it would be me? I mean, the wife.
This is the way things happen here. You know, like when I was a kid, there was a little girl. And my father said, my son will marry this girl, you know. And when we were 12, 13 years old, then our parents said, okay, we got to have the engagement pretty soon. And this is what I heard as I was brought up. So since 6 or 7, I remember this, yeah.
Then came trouble. Marika's businessman father had already agreed to marry her to a boy from a wealthier Roma family. And the girl Jula's father had negotiated for wasn't Marika. Traditionally, the groom's family should pay anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 to the family of the bride. Jula's family had nothing and lived all together in a one-room apartment. Marika and Jula suffered beatings and denunciations, but they held on to what they found in each other's eyes. And at 14 and 15, Marika and Jula were married. They lived behind a curtain in the kitchen at his parents' tiny apartment. A few months later, still 14, Marika became pregnant with their first child. That was 10 years ago. Jula is now finishing law school in Pécs. Jula sings along with the radio whenever he's in the car. He says he can't help it. It's what Roma people do. Jula sees the irony in that, doing what he does because that's what his people do. As activists trying to eliminate child marriage, he and Marika have spent their adult lives trying to change what Roma people do. It's Saturday afternoon, Easter weekend. We arrive at Jula's Uncle Chirka's house just outside Pécs. We, the men, his uncle, his father, and his cousin, sit at a handmade wooden table drinking whiskey and pink Tokaj wine. Chirka's wife piles plates of spicy stuffed cabbage in front of us, but otherwise stays in the kitchen with the women. Jula explains that I've come to talk about child marriage. A great oak of a man, crowned with a sheaf of graying black hair, Chirkas narrows his eyes and launches in. Jula translates.
Our tribe keeps the tradition, and our girls marry at the age of 14, 15.
So, but many people say it's not a good thing to marry at 14 or 15, and they want to change that.
There are Romani girls, indeed, in our tribe as well, who don't marry at an early age, and they marry at the age of 20. And then they marry with non-Roma, and they don't belong to our community anymore.
What's wrong with marrying a non-Roma? If they fall in love with each other and they respect and they keep the household?
The blood will not be clean and the purity is lost. And if the purity is lost, then Roma culture is lost. Our Romani identity is lost.
Itzi, Jeka's wife, moves toward the table.
My aunt says, Yutzi, I have 5 children, I have 10 grandchildren, and tradition is very important. I was 16 when I married my husband. He is the only man in my life whom I know, and I'm very happy about this and very proud of this. It is not the age that is so much important, but the tradition that the girl needs to be virgin, needs to be traditional when she marries, no matter if she's 15 or 20, she needs to be virgin.
The problem isn't child marriage, she says. It's the European Union's laws against it. Dula's father leaps on the point.
If those guys, those white-collar gentlemen there in Brussels, don't know how to improve our situation, they shouldn't destroy our culture, because we have this culture for 1,000 years, and this is what helped us survive all the discrimination and racism and xenophobia, the Holocaust that they had against us. This is how we could survive. So they shouldn't destroy us now, because this would be the destroyal of our culture.
As the men's voices grow fiercer, the children in the kitchen begin making funny faces. A girl named Sandra agrees to speak.
How old are you?
Nine.
Do you want to go to university? Do you want to get married young, do you think?
I
want to go to the university.
So would you want to get married before you go to university?
No.
This could be a point of conflict, I say to her grandfather, Circus.
Now she says that because she's very young, but as she's getting older and she sees boys, she will also see that this is for her own interest.
Say she decides she wants to become a lawyer.
It would be much better for her if she's 15 or 16 to get married and to live a happy life by her husband's side.
But there are Roma women who are lawyers, no?
But they are not traditional anymore. They don't keep the customs anymore. They become non-Roma and they lose the customs.
Even if they marry a Roma boy?
I have never ever met such a woman, a Romani woman, who is a lawyer and keeps the customs and married a Roma.
Blood, power, virginity, tradition. It's easy to watch through Western eyes and see a band of aging male supremacists pitted against young girls eager for a future. But it is just as easy to forget how rituals and rules have protected the Roma through centuries of relentless attack. For Jula and Marika, each day is spent trying to maneuver between those two ways of seeing the world. Back in their apartment, Marika offers her version of how blood purity really works nowadays. Most of the time, she says, once the boy reaches 17 or 18, he's working two jobs, is always exhausted, and just gets fed up.
And they just leave the girl with two or three kids so that she has to solve their lives alone.
How does the community react when the boy leaves?
Actually, nobody dares to say a word. So basically, the community leaves the girl or the woman alone with the kids, but at the same time, they warn the girl not to have interaction with other guys, because the husband might come back. No matter how many years pass, the husband might come back and she has to keep her chastity.
Marika and her friends call it the cult of virginity. They've joined with other Roma women in Macedonia and Bulgaria to fight it. They organize informal home meetings where most of what they do is encourage the girls to talk.
In the community, this topic is a taboo. It is a taboo. You are not allowed to talk about it because you will sort of get expelled out of the community if you talk about it, about early marriage being a problem.
Marika and Jula are working to dislodge a cornerstone of Roma life. But there are other things they're working to build up. Jula helped establish this school for Roma art and dance 3 years ago in Pec. Jula's friend, Feri Orsos, teaches there. He grew up in a Roma settlement and has been dancing since he was five. In those days, each clan had its own dances. Then, during the 70s, the communist government broke up most of the settlements and banned the language. Surviving in the new globalized Europe is not about holding on to worn-out traditions like child marriage, Feri says. It's about keeping the common memory alive through song, stories, and dance.
We have this element in our culture that you have the other guy who's in a problem. And I think that these people together, when they are helping, giving hand to each other, they can fight all this globalization that is coming. But a lot depends on the cohesion. If there is cohesion within a community, then it will survive.
Cohesion, however, isn't always so simple. Many Roma around Pécs think he and Marika are dividing their community on the question of early marriage. And Gyula admits that even he feels divided within himself.
Like on Sunday or yesterday when we were there, and I saw a very nice Romani little girl. She was so cute, you know, and I said, well, my son is the same age, and I would love to have her as a daughter-in-law. And it's now, only now that I'm thinking about this, that it's happening to me as well, because I'm an insider, I'm a Roma guy, so this is the way I think. Nevertheless, I will not force my child to marry this girl.
That division within himself, within his family, within his larger Roma tribe is something he supposes that he and Marika will always live with.
We ourselves, our family, we are stuck in between two worlds. We are in between the two people. You know, we don't have very, very good friends in a Roma community, and we don't have very, very good friends in a Hungarian community. We have other interests towards the world. We want to change something. We are working for something that is abnormal, you know.
Abnormal?
Yeah, it is abnormal. It is abnormal to change the world. You know, it's not a normal thing. The normal thing is to work every day, to have a family, to have children, to go to the cinema in the weekends, have parties sometimes, and so on. But we don't have that. We have an abnormal life, an absolutely abnormal life.
For most of us, their lives hardly seem abnormal. Cell phones, emails, online ticket bookings. This is modern life. But Gyula and Marika's lives are also built upon the raucous family meetings, the music and stories, the collective memory of 1,000 years. To live between those worlds can be painful. To live in both at once is a dream in progress.